If you would all stand and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16. John 16, 5 through 15. And I read in the name of our Lord Jesus. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Here ends our reading, and you may be seated. In January of 2010, a friend of mine from my church went missing. And it was without warning, and we are left without a trace. They found his car down by a river, and inside the car was pretty much all of his personal belongings that he would always want to have with him. His keys, his wallet, his cigarettes, his phone, and the car was locked. And there was no sign of him anywhere. And still 9 years later, there has been no evidence of his whereabouts. They even had a search team with a bloodhound out looking for him, and no evidence. And the family is still distraught by this, still looking for him, still praying for him, still wondering what happened. You know, when somebody that you love disappears, it's traumatic. And by the way, you should be praying for Eric Peterson, wherever he is, and the Peterson family. But think about what these disciples were going through as they were bracing themselves for an event like this, as Jesus tells them that he is going to be leaving them suddenly. They at least had a warning here. But you can tell that they're struggling with this as Jesus mentions that they have sorrow filling their heart when they heard this news, and they didn't even have any words to say to Jesus to even ask him where he was going. Maybe there was a little selfishness going on in their heart as they weren't worried about Jesus and what was ahead of him in his journey, but they were thinking about just the loss that they were going to experience without Jesus. But we may wonder this too as we look around at our world and ask, has God abandoned us? If Jesus was really the Messiah, then why did he leave? Why isn't he here right now at work in our world? If he was such a good man and if he brought so much hope and he could heal people, he could raise the dead, he could do all these things, why isn't he still here fixing things in this world? This world is such a mess, and we need a Savior. We need a God like him. If he's real, and if this all happened, then where is he, and why isn't he with us? In our text, Jesus tells us some things about what to expect when he's gone, and actually a great encouraging word for us, and that there is someone else coming at that time and has already come to work in his place to an even greater advantage for us. And so as we look through this text, I see a theme here. As we look even at the work of the Holy Spirit, and the theme is everything is going according to the plan. Everything is going according to plan. First of all, the tag team. Jesus had had come to the world, and Scripture tells us that he was sent by the Father. The Father had created the whole world, and even before he created it, he had this plan in mind of sending Jesus, and he knew whom he would save. And now the Father passes off this ministry to his Son Jesus. He sends him to earth, and Jesus lives the perfect life here on earth that all of us were supposed to live. He obeyed his Father perfectly. He took care of all of the people that he was entrusted with. And he finished the work here on earth with his death and resurrection. For the disciples here, this death and resurrection was still in the future for them. Jesus is preparing them for it. But remember what Jesus said as he was hanging on the cross. He said, "It is finished." He had paid the price for sin for all people in the world of all time. He finished that redemption and he secured it with his resurrection. And his part was coming to an end and he needed to go back to the Father. And he had another job there. He tells us he was going to prepare a place for us and just to do some things there. But his job here on this earth, we can say, in a way, is done. And there was another part of this plan. And if you're maybe a fan of wrestling and you've got multiple people on a wrestling team and one person finishes up a portion of the wrestling, and they run to the side, and they slap the hand of their teammate, and they tag them in, because this is a tag team match. The next person now comes in and does their part in this match. And that's like Jesus tag teaming the Holy Spirit and sending him in. Or like in the children's message, this relay race. God the Father prepared the way by making the plan of salvation and sending Jesus. And then Jesus comes, lives his life to the full, and finishes payment for sin, finishes redemption, and now he hands it off to the Holy Spirit, who is going to come to earth and has come to earth now to do his part of this race, this plan of salvation that God had set up before even time began. If you're not maybe a fan of wrestling or racing, maybe you're a fan of musicals, you could think of this as the stage cue for the next act. And so we've got the Holy Spirit coming in. And what is his part in all of this then? We can understand God the Father, the Creator, pretty well. We talk about that a lot. Jesus, he's a lot easier to understand in some ways because we, humankind, got to see him in the flesh and see his work. But what does the Holy Spirit do? Jesus calls him here the helper or the comforter. These disciples sure needed comforting as they thought about losing their Jesus. I'm sure you need some help and comfort in your life, in your heart as well. And Jesus said that he is going to send the helper. You know, that means that we're not left alone. God hasn't abandoned us here on this earth. God, after he created everything, didn't just spin the top and leave. This isn't deism. We believe that God is still here, active in our world. Jesus came into our world, and then when he left, he did not leave us alone. He even says elsewhere, "I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come for you." And in the meantime, he left his Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter. My little three-year-old Naomi, she says, and I'm going to try to imitate her. It won't be as cute, but she says, "Will you come with me? It's scary being alone." And she doesn't want to go some places alone, and it's scary. But you know, that's been true for all my girls. They feel that way. They don't like to go places alone, especially if it's dark or hard. But you know, they've been pretty blessed from being saved from most traumatic events. There are some people out there who go through some horrible things. Thinking about how scary it is to be alone when things are hard, I thought of this motorcycle group that I heard about out in California when I was living out there last year. And this is a group that comes in to protect people who are alone and helpless and who are being abused. So if they hear from the police that there's an abuse victim, they will go to their house and they will tell the person, you will not be alone anymore. I'm going to be standing outside your house guarding it so nobody else is going to hurt you. You are not going to be alone. And these guys will take shifts and stay there all the time protecting them. What a great comfort that is to know that we're not alone. And Jesus hasn't left us alone, but has given his Holy Spirit. This is actually even more to our advantage, because think about if Jesus had stayed on this earth. Sure, he could heal the sick. He could raise the dead. He could forgive sins. But in his body here as one man on this earth, he didn't even get to reach out and touch everybody in the Middle East or even every person in his home areas. He affected many of them, certainly. But this was a ministry that was to spread throughout all of the world. And God had this brilliant plan to spend the Holy Spirit that would not be restricted to one locality, but could be living in the heart of every believer around the world throughout all of time. That could be working in the hearts of all people, of all nations, trying to lead them to the salvation that Jesus has provided. Secondly, everything is going to plan. The Holy Spirit now convicting the world. It's the language that we see in this text. And let's look at what it is that the Holy Spirit is doing here. It says that he is, when he comes, verse 8, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So we're going to look at those three things, and it's explained in verse 9. So first of all, concerning sin. The Holy Spirit comes and convicts concerning sin. And it says, because they do not believe in me. He's convicting the world of this. All the world is all those who reject Jesus, all those who are not a part of his flock, who don't believe in him. And they are convicted concerning sin in this way. In 1 John, we hear, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourselves. Everybody in the world is guilty before God. We have all sinned against him. We have all failed. None of us are perfect. In fact, all of us are vile lawbreakers and rebellious at heart. Don't deceive yourselves in thinking that you do not have sin. The Holy Spirit comes to convict us in our hearts of sin. That is him working in you. If you feel guilty and ashamed about your sins, that is the Holy Spirit working in your heart. But you know what? It says that he will work concerning sin, and this also has a flip side for believers. That as we recognize in regards to sin that Jesus has already paid for sin, we actually find assurance and relief and peace in our hearts. And that is also the work of the Holy Spirit in us who believe, that he would give us assurance and comfort us. And also it says in verse 10, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. You know, the world, again, like they don't think that they have sinned against God, they think that they are righteous on their own. They think that at the core that they are righteous before God. People rejected Jesus when he was on earth. They didn't want what he was offering. And that is the way of this world, to be self-righteous and try to stand on our own. But the Holy Spirit will convict our hearts and the hearts of all the world in this matter. Show us that we are guilty before God. But he will also comfort believers in our hearts as he points us to Christ and let us know that we are righteous by faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is also working, it says in verse 11, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And this, again, has a twofold meaning. For unbelievers, this means that you are condemned, you are convicted, just like the devil, the ruler of this world. and your fate is the same as his. You if you think of the hymn phrase, for lo, his doom is sure. The devil, in the end, is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. He's already been defeated by Jesus, and even though he prowls around yet like a roaring lion, his end is sure, and he will be destroyed in the last day in eternal damnation, eternal fire. And all who reject Jesus are also convicted concerning this judgment, because you will have the same fate as the devil. You know, hell wasn't created for people. It was created for the devil and the angels who rebelled against God, who tried to overthrow him. But all who reject Jesus are following the devil, their father, and will have the same end as him. But for believers, this is very comforting, because all who would attack us and hate us and reject us as they did Jesus, including the devil himself, their end is sure. All who would harm us are going to be taken care of by God. And we can trust that our future is secure in God's hands, no matter what kind of trouble and hardship we may undergo in this life. Thirdly, everything is going according to plan as we see the Trinity in action. Look at verses 12 through 15 with me here. Jesus starts to describe more about the relationship of the Spirit with him and with the Father, and what the Spirit will do. He says in verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will guide you into all the truth. Let me ask you, what is the truth? Maybe here's another way of asking this. Who is the truth? Do you remember when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? You know, the Holy Spirit, he will tell you the truth always. He will tell you when you have sinned. He will convict your heart of that, when you're self-righteous, but he will also tell you the truth about Jesus. He will point you to Jesus, who is the truth. He will use the word of truth, as the Bible is called. The Holy Spirit comes and works the truth of the Scriptures in our hearts and the truth of the message of Jesus in us. And he is our guide. He is the one working behind the scenes, even when we don't see him actively in this world. Scripture compares him to the wind. We can't see the wind, but we can feel its effects. And the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts to guide us into all truth. And then it goes on here. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you all the things that are to come. You know, he doesn't come on his own as some independent agent, but he is perfectly aligned. This is perfect teamwork in our Godhead, in the Trinity. He is not coming just on his own, but the Father has given authority to Jesus, and we'll see Jesus explain this more, but this authority has been given to the Spirit, and this message, too, comes from the Father through Jesus to the Spirit, and they are all perfectly working together. But at whatever he hears, he will speak. And listen to what he's going to tell us. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. You know, we don't know everything about the future. We don't know all the details or the sequence of events or the exact timing of anything. Don't believe anybody who tells you that they know. They don't. But everything that we need to know about the future has been revealed to us in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you and apply that to your heart, help you to understand that. We will know that, we can know that Jesus is coming back again, and he's coming back to bring with him all those who believe, even those who have already died. And in verse 14, we see this last thing that he will do. He will glorify me, Jesus says, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. You know, I've heard the Holy Spirit called the shy member of the Trinity. One person coined that phrase. And that's because every time we look at the Holy Spirit or talk about the Holy Spirit and hear about him, he's pointing at Jesus. He's not trying to draw attention to himself. He's pointing to Jesus. And why is that? Because on the cross, Jesus took care of everything for you. And his job is to take what Jesus did almost 2,000 years ago on the cross, when he finished it all for you, and to take it and apply it to you, to bring it to your heart. Because God wants you to be saved. Just because Jesus took care of it all back then doesn't mean you will be saved. You need to receive that blessing. And the Holy Spirit is the one here facilitating that, guiding you, leading you, pointing you to Christ. He's taking what Jesus has done and what Jesus offers, all of his authority, his righteousness, his redemption, and he's declaring it to you, even today, as you sit here now. You may ask then, how can you receive the Holy Spirit? That you might receive his blessed work in your heart and life and receive the gift that Jesus has won for you on the cross and through his resurrection. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? In Galatians chapter 3, Paul asks, "Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" And the answer is hearing with faith. There's nothing that we can do by any good works of the law that will earn us the blessing of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. There's nothing that will earn his giving us the redemption of Jesus. But we hear this truth that's declared to us through Scripture by the Holy Spirit's work. We hear it and we believe it. And that's how we receive the Holy Spirit. Listen to this too in Acts 2:38. Peter the apostle said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Praise the Lord that he has not abandoned us. He's not left us alone, but we merely see that the Father planned everything. Jesus accomplished our redemption fully, and now he has handed off the ministry to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here at work in the hearts of mankind, convicting us of sin and judgment and righteousness. He's also comforting those who believe. And he's guiding us to Jesus that we might receive all that Jesus accomplished for us. So, for every one of you, repent and believe. If you haven't been baptized, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this truth. And as we look at our world, we are often troubled, thinking that it seems that there's no God at work here at all, and wondering where Jesus is, where you are in all of this. And we thank you for this comforting word, an explanation of your work in the world today. May we recognize when we are feeling guilty of our sins that your Holy Spirit is stirring in our heart, pricking our conscience, and leading us to repentance, pointing us to Jesus, that we might receive what he gave to us, forgiveness of sins won through his shed blood. We might receive the promise of eternal life and resurrection from the dead as we receive Jesus' resurrection through the declaration of the Holy Spirit. May you work in our hearts, Lord. Help us to believe. In your name we pray. Amen.